I started off this morning asking for people to stand up who had come from Los Angeles, Portland, Assisi. And then I thought, I'd like everyone to raise their hands who has come from the astral world. And let's remember that. That's really our true home. And then beyond that, of course, to merging with God. Swami has a wonderful essay that many of you, I think, have probably read called The Final Exam. It's in his book of essays called Religion in the New Age. And in that essay, he gives us a checklist. He said often when people face a serious illness or realize that death is approaching, they want to cram for the final exam. But he said, how much better to just be all the time studying, all the time preparing. And so he gave us a checklist to prepare for the final exam. And the first one, he said, review your life, but focus on the happy memories and experiences. Think of not the mistakes. Don't dwell, Master said, very important. Don't dwell on regrets, on guilt, on a sense of shame, any of these things. Just as we were talking about the woman who had a vision of the lower astral world, and there were all these monks and nuns there who had maybe not done their prayers properly or hadn't totally scrubbed the floor clean. And these were, and there's a deeper aspect that I didn't explain when we talked about it the other day. Why were they so feeling such shame? Because others had projected onto them, you aren't good, you are guilty, you are a sinner. And they died with that thought. And so Master said, remember the happy moments, remember your successes, remember the loved ones, remember even if you're in poor health, remember the times of good health. Remember what it felt like when you were vital and energetic. Master said, we mentioned this the other day, even if you're dying of a ravaging disease, if you go out with the thought, I am well, the next life, if you have to have one, or your sojourn in the astral world, will be one of a sense of radiant well-being. Sometimes you see Swamiji and he looks not well on a certain level physically, and you said, how are you? And he said, I am well, with such magnetism and such focus. And more during this trip, especially with Swami, and I think many of you watched his talk last night, it's like it's really a great blessing to behold him, because he's not entirely in this physical world. He's really half in the astral world, and so there's a subtlety all about his features and his eyes, and it's really that in itself is a teaching, just to look at the consciousness of someone who is consciously finishing off the karma, consciously saying, I'm not coming back, I'm doing dotting every I and crossing every T so that it's done at the end. And so remember the happy memories. There's a tradition in the American Indian people that I read about once. When someone is dying, a family member, rather than saying, oh, I'm sorry I did this or this didn't work out, they just look at each other and they say, next time it will be better. And that's a good way to end, just next time it will be better, rather than looking backwards. So review your life in the most positive sense, because that's, you know, we've read about people who have near-death experiences and their lives are reviewed by angelic beings before they fully enter the astral world. And the question that is asked is, how well did you love? Not how much money did you make or how important were you or what recognition. How well did you love? And And so that's what we need to remember. I recall right when I was coming on to the spiritual path, I was in the middle of reading Autobiography of a Yogi for the first time. I was living in Madison, Wisconsin, finishing up my college education, and I had a small apartment with some other girls. And for one afternoon, everybody was gone, and I remember sitting in the living room. It was a sunny day, spring, and I was reading Autobiography, and then I remember closing the book. And I hadn't really learned how to meditate yet, but something master within me, I suppose, just prompted me to start thinking, because he's a premavatar, he's an incarnation of divine love and joy. And I began thinking of all the love that I had been blessed to receive in this lifetime, loving parents and family and friends and on and on. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I began just thinking of this little, like Jyotish was talking about, that clarity of the wire mesh fence, this little episode where love had come to me that was in the recesses of my memory. And I just began feeling more and more expansive until it didn't really, it became impersonal. It wasn't like this person loved me and that person loved me, but that I had always been surrounded by love. And then I looked at the clock and several hours had gone by. And it was the first time in this lifetime I had meditated and not even knowing what it was. But it was that ability to lose yourself in the positive that you've experienced in your life, because that's how the angelic beings see us, who will review our life with us. And then another item on the checklist for our final exam is, Jyotish talked about it more at length, but to look at our attachments and to cut that cord. Any cords coming from your heart, Swamiji said, if use a knife, or if that doesn't work, use a hatchet. And I would have, if that doesn't work, use a chainsaw, whatever it takes. But cut those cords. And does that mean that we're responsible? Does that mean that we say we have little children that are dependent on us, or a loving spouse, or dear friends, or aging elderly parents, that we just say, okay, bye-bye, I'm a yogi, I'm out of here? Not at all. We wouldn't be free if we did that. We need to honor all of our responsibilities, but not with the sense that this is mine. I have to say, and this is a personal thing, but having taken the Nyaswami vows, where you just say, no one is mine, nothing is mine, I feel my capacity to love is so much greater, and my enjoyment in my friends and close ones is so much deeper, because there isn't the fear of loss. And that's, think about that, it's very important. So the next item he gives to check us, for us to check off, is freedom. Try to meditate and live with a sense of inner freedom. I've been doing that recently. And you know, sometimes when you've been going through an illness and you think, oh God, I'll never feel good again. And then one day you do. Or you've been going through a test and you think, oh, this is just going to be one heck of a lifetime. And then it's over. And then I thought, why not catch that pause between the breaths, between the blows, and remember what it feels like to be free of any external tests or trials or challenges, and just dwell in that sense of, oh yes. You know, the beautiful feeling when an illness is over or a great trial is over. Remember that feeling and meditate on that. Hold it. I've been doing this recently, and you begin to feel, past the freedom, you begin to feel a wonderful joy. And I'm getting the hint that beyond that joy is true bliss. But comes from that sense of living in the sense of whatever happens, that sense of freedom is who I am and what I want. And then the fourth item on our checklist is to live in the remembrance of God's love, eternal, never changing, unconditional. As that great saint, Saint John Vianney, said, if we only knew how much God loved us, we would die for joy. And so to try to go deep, just as I was sharing that meditation I had, whatever prompts it, if it's remembering a pet or a friend or a dear one, whatever prompts it, go deep in that sense of unconditional, causeless love without any reason. That beautiful poem that Master recorded, The Hound of Heaven, where he says, who else could love you, you frail, fragile clod of mud, but only me? It's God speaking to the soul. Because you have come from me, and I am love, and that love reverberates from me to you, into the very essence of your being. So meditate on God's love for you, because when that final moment comes, that's all you'll know. Just like when Gyanamata was leaving, she said, too much joy, leaving the body, too much joy, too much joy. And that sense of love, we need to prepare ourselves for that sense of being loved to the core of our being, unimaginably loved and blessed and accepted. And then finally, the final item on the checklist is to pray for others, because this is the great ones. They live only to spread that divine love and blessings out to the world. So feel that in that freedom of limitation, of attachment, of guilt and shame and self-limitation and self-identity, freedom from all of that, just feel divine love flows through me to all beings. And that again builds a bridge from where we are now to the astral world. So those are our checklists for our final exam. But as Jyotish mentioned, we've had the great blessing, Yadananda, of seeing people live this. It's not just theory. He mentioned Maria, but there have been others as well. Some years ago, a very dear friend, Paula, got passed away. She was a young woman, probably late 40s, and she had advanced cancer. And she passed away at Sierra Memorial Hospital, the local hospital in Nevada City. And she had a party for about the last 6 days of her life. And some of us sitting in this room were there, and I know we'll never forget it. And it was a going away party. And the hospital, it's a very nice local hospital. We just slept in the hallway. We put chairs together. We just brought food in and pizzas. And what do you want, Paul? And she couldn't eat anything. She said, oh, I want dulce de leche ice cream. And so we'd bring that in and mangoes. But she was on the phone and she was calling everybody that she had any unresolved energy with. She'd call them and say, you know, when that happened some years ago, I'm so sorry, and I just want to ask for your forgiveness, and let's just go forward. And she did that with a number of different people. And Swamiji was in Italy at the time, and she called him, and she just said, Swami, you've been the light of my life, and I bow at your feet. And he blessed her just through the airwaves. But you could see her just getting more and more and more free, until finally the other doctors and nurses, we were sort of at the end of a hospital wing, they would come in and they said, what's happening here? We can feel this energy filling the whole hospital. And other doctors who weren't her physician would bring flowers, and she kept saying, now send those flowers to everybody. So the whole floor was filled with the flowers that had come. And then it was the moment that was her time to go, and we were just, it was about, I don't know, 3 or 4 in the morning. Is that correct, Diva? Do you remember? Yeah. And we were all meditating there, and then she took a couple of breaths, and it was done. And it was the most amazing thing, because what had been our dear friend, it was just nothing was left there in the bed. It was like a pile of old clothes. And we looked out, and it was a dawn, and it was beautiful, rosy, golden dawn. And we thought, that's Paula. This isn't her, this pile of nothing that's left behind. And it was a profound experience that changed all of our lives. So this isn't just theory, it's real. And Master promised that for each one of us, he promised this, that if we stick it through to the end, this is a quote, if we stick it through to the end, not just for sticking it out, but with joy and devotion and dedication, that he, Master, or one of the other of our line of gurus would personally usher us into the astral world. And I wanted to read just very briefly, it's about a page, the story of Dr. Lewis's passing, Master's first Kriya Yogi disciple in America. And this was written by his wife, Mildred, who there's all these stories about Mildred, but nevertheless. It's so beautiful. This is from a little book, The Life Story of Dr. Lewis. I found Dr. resting comfortably in the hospital. After his supper, which he enjoyed, he sat in a chair for 13 minutes and then returned to bed. At 7 p.m., he said he would take a nap. He slept very peacefully until 7:30, and when he awakened, he told me, "I want to sit up straight." I arranged the pillows at his back as he assumed the lotus pose for his usual evening meditation. His hands were upturned, his eyes closed. I sat beside the bed thinking that I too would meditate. But I was aroused in 2 or 3 minutes by a tremendous sound. It resembled the suction sound of a huge pump or the breath sound of a giant kriya. With the sound came a great flash of spiritual white light whose brilliance might be compared to that given forth by a million electric light bulbs. Doctor's blue eyes opened. Piercing flashes of blue light came from them. Then they were locked at the Christ center in the forehead. His head lowered somewhat, but his body remained erect. For an instant, the face of Swami Sri Yukteswarji appeared, enveloping Doctor's face. Then all was over. How many times I have thanked God, the great ones, and beloved Master, that I was privileged to witness such a glorious passing. That's the promise they give us, those who stay till the end. Now, one of the most beautiful spiritual passages which helps us to understand death, rebirth, the astral world, resurrection, is from Autobiography of a Yogi, The Resurrection of Sri Yukteswar. And very interestingly, many of us watched last night the video of Swamiji's talk in Mumbai. Well, an Indian friend told us that the Regent Hotel, which still exists in Mumbai, Bombay, where Sri Yukteswar appeared to Master, was resurrected, and told him about the nature of the returning from the astral world and moving into the causal world. That hotel is just a few blocks from the auditorium where Swamiji gave that talk. So it was 75 years later that Sri Yukteswar appeared, told in his body, physically resurrected, 75 years later, Master's direct disciple, standing in that hotel, in that auditorium in Mumbai, presented Master's new biography of his life. An incredible, incredible joining together of events. But in that chapter, Sri Yukteswar tells him, And it's very, very interesting that he now resides not in the astral world, but on an astral planet, Hiranyaloka, where people go after they die on the astral plane, if they're advanced enough. It's sort of like an astral heaven, where they comparable, when ordinary people die on the physical plane, they go to the astral world. And if we're advanced, then we enjoy that world. But if we want, if we've worked out our physical karma, we don't have to go back, then we can go to the astral heavens where we work out our astral karma. And when that's done, then we can go to the causal world, which is just a thin veil for merging with God. And Master gives the beautiful illustration of three corked bottles encased in each other with seawater in one. The first one is the physical body, and when we pull the cork on that at death, that salt water, which is the essence of our soul nature, goes into the astral bottle or body. And when we're done with that karma, you pull the cork on that, and that salt water goes into the causal body. And when we're done with that, we pull the cork, and it just merges into the ocean. But the thing that struck me with such importance and significance as I was reading The Resurrection of Sri Yukteswar recently this morning was, Swami has often said, quoting this line from the autobiography, every atom is dowered with individuality, and every atom and all creation, everything, all of the created world, from Adam to man, is dowered with individuality, meaning each one of us is an individual, indestructible, eternal part of God that can never die. And the fear of death or of loss of any kind is that we will lose our individuality. And that's not possible. That's how we are a spark of God. What we will lose is our separateness from God, but not our individuality. And that's such a totally reassuring concept, because that goes on. And you can think of it like a rainbow. When, you know, the color spectrum is always out there. When the light hits water in a certain way, the colors are differentiated, but then it quickly merges back. And that's what our individuality is like. It's always there in its potential. And what the whole darn drama of life is about is to assert our individuality. Oh, but I'm different. I'm important. I'm me. Look at, I can do this, or I have a mohawk hairdo, or, you know, whatever it is, just to say, I am different. I am different. I am me. I am an individual. And all we want to do is say, yeah, you are. We are all individuals. We are all endowed with divine individuality that can never be destroyed. The Gita says the soul, water cannot drown it, and fire cannot burn it, and the sword cannot cut it. Why? Because it has that individuality that nobody else can take. Nobody else has. Nobody else can be it. Only us. And if we can begin to prepare for the final exam, where we understand this spark of individuality, which was created beyond memory, will go on and on forever. Just like Master said, don't pray for what you have already. Don't pray for immortality. You are immortal. And so, as we began this morning with that incredible song, To Death, I'm a Stranger, but we are not a stranger to death. We've been there many, many times, but maybe this time it can be a door that closes behind us, and we don't have to make the passage from astral to physical, but we can just move on and say, now we are our individuality no longer needs to reassert itself, but we can let that sense of separateness that moves with us from life to death to astral rebirth rejoice in our individual spark of divinity, and that is eternal. So God bless you all. This is something very fun, and I want to read this. Remember on Monday we started with we read the baptism ceremony on the class on birth. Well, I was looking at the astral ascension ceremony this last night, and I've rewritten it, and I want us to really meditate on it, because the astral ascension, the way it's written, and we use it as a ceremony, is from our point of view to the departed soul. I've rewritten it for us to read and meditate on from the point of view of us as the departed soul, talking to our friends on earth. So let's close our eyes and feel the freedom of losing this mortal coil, as Shakespeare said, and enjoying the astral world. Dear friends, we who have gone before you have entered a realm which our souls remember, a place of freedom and light and laughter. We take you with us on this journey and send our blessings and our love. We shall meet again. Once more, we shall laugh together, rejoice together, and share in the joy of seeking him. We have claimed our soul's freedom. We now bless all who ever harmed us or ever wished us harm. We are free to give them our love and our prayers for their freedom in God. We have cast from our heart all attachments. Now we realize that earthly goals, however shining, are but dreams. God is the only reality. We have burnt up earthly desires in the fire of wisdom. We have burnt up earthly limitations in the blaze of inner freedom. We have burnt up earthly disappointments in the flames of spreading peace. We have burnt up earthly joys in the bonfire of divine bliss. We see our physical form as a discarded garment. Clothed we now are in garments of light. We are free. We now see our past actions as scenes in a vast unfolding tapestry. We no longer feast our gaze wistfully on episodes already finished, but look ahead. For new adventures await us, fresh, joyous victories as we advance toward perfect freedom in God. And what of you, dear friends, who we love? We behold you as threads of light in the tapestry of our life, threads which through the magnet of soul friendship will appear ever and again, woven with increasing beauty as our hearts expand together in God's love. Divine Mother has received us, her child, and purified us in her perfect light and love. She has granted us eternal freedom in God. Om, peace. Amen.
Through a long and lonely night, I've whispered your name. Through the pains and joys of life, my plea stays the same. Tempt me no longer, this world's not for me. I have known all its charms. Fold me now in your arms, make me free. Lifetimes have passed, I've called out to you through hope and despair. Lifetimes I've known, the goals that I sought awaited nowhere. Help me remember, there's one goal alone. All I am is yours, all I've done is yours, I'm your own.